Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm one of your two hosts, Jason Ophir with Sherry. How are you doing, Sherry?
Good. How are you, Jason?
Not too bad. Excited to have another episode of Paranormal Horizons, and I understand you found us a great guest that we're going to be talking to shortly. I did want to give a shout out to a friend of mine by the name of Jessica Tucker. And now, Sherry, I know you're pretty healthy, and you eat healthy, right?
I try to.
Well, I don't. And I have to say, this friend of mine, Jessica, turned me on to – I'm a big junk food person, and this isn't paranormal at all. This is just me. I'm notorious for snacking on junk food. And where I go to work, they have this vending machine, and you don't have to put cash in it, but you can use your debit card, right? And I always get Cheetos out of this vending machine. And my friend, Jessica, she's from Canada, and she brought over the Canadian version of Cheetos, which are called Cheesies. I was a little skeptical at first, but I tried them. And the best way I can describe them is the adult version of Cheetos. So now I am on this epic quest to find a supply of Cheesies, and I found them on Amazon. Again, it's not paranormal, but it's an amazing thing, and I thank my friend Jessica Tucker for turning me on to the amazing Cheesies. And we're not sponsored by whoever makes the Cheesies, but it's an amazing snack. Anyways, not paranormal. I just had to share my snacking experience on the show.
Oh my goodness. So what was the difference between that and Cheetos?
Cheetos, you know, just have this Cheeto cheese flavor, and these Cheesies, it's the best way to describe it is more of an adult flavor. It's maybe a little more bitter, stronger flavor, and it's just amazing. And one of these days I'm going to order a big case of Cheesies from Amazon. And I'll be sure not to be eating them on the show. So, So that's my non-paranormal snacking experience. So I understand you found us a great guest this evening on our show tonight.
Yes, he's been in the business for over 40 years, and he ranges from UFOs to cryptozoology, extensive experience in paranormal investigations. He's very sought after in different media and television shows. So I'm really happy to have him on the show, but I see that he just messaged me and he said that he's having a problem that the phone is not on, the call is not active. So anyway, you want to give him the call-in number? It's 215-383-3999. Is that correct, Jason?
Yep. 215-383-3999. Oh, and I see he's called in. So we'll just go ahead and bring him on right now.
Yes, that'll be great. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Sherry. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Hi, Jason. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Happy Father's Day to everybody.
Yes, it's Father's Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big day today.
Thank you.
What are you guys up to?
Oh, not much. I know Sherry and I are really busy during the week, and having the show is kind of our venting at the end of the week. We can kind of delve into the world of paranormal and tell me a little bit about you. And you, it sounds like you have a very extensive and diverse experience within the paranormal. And she told me, because Sherry finds the guests, that we're going to talk a little bit about Mothman and just kind of see where the conversation goes. And that's a subject that I don't know anything about, really, other than the little blurbs here and there I've seen on TV. So maybe you start off, give everybody, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and we'll just kind of give you the floor.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Jason. Well, for myself, I'm Barry Gaunt. I'm also known as the Kentucky Truth Seeker. Most people know me as that. I am a paranormal investigator, have been for over 40 years. I'm a very fierce researcher. And like everything paranormal, and we cover everything paranormal, I am the managing director for Night Stalkers Paranormal, a renowned a paranormal team here in Kentucky and in Tennessee. We do quite a lot of cases. We do everything from UFOs, hauntings, strange creatures. Plus, we get into the conspiracy theories, everything else. We do a lot of investigating, a lot of research, and we just love it. Done a long stint with several other paranormal outfits. I was with MUFON for several years and held headquarters positions with them. I love dealing with the UFO field, and when we're talking about Mothman, I don't know if anybody really who knows about Mothman, but there's a UFO a lot of sightings and everything around the Mothman, too, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But I love the paranormal. I love discussing things. We help out a lot of other teams throughout the country. And like I said, we love paranormal unity and trying to help everybody, and I spend most of my time doing that. We talked to several people all night long. Last time I talked to Sherry, we were laughing about how much time we actually spend in this, because it's a 24/7. I also volunteer at one of the most haunted places in the South, and I think one of the most haunted residential areas. It's called Octagon Hall. It's been on several TV shows. It's octagonhall.com if anybody's looking for it. We accept overnight stays for people who can come out and overstay. I also host Novice Hunts twice a month there with the team, and give people that are that do not have a team and somebody that wants to have a personal paranormal experience, give them a chance to come home with us, and we kind of let them run the show, and we're there to let them use our equipment and everything else. And throughout the night, they normally have an experience, so it's quite fun.
I'm curious. I haven't heard of that location. What's the history behind it?
It was Octagon Hall is based from the residential home of Andrew Jackson Caldwell. Quite a character. He was a Southern sympathizer. He built an octagon-shaped house. It's three stories, a basement, main floor, and an upstairs. Four rooms on each floor, and it's about 4,000 square feet. It is filled with period things, plus several collectible items from the Civil War history. The Orphan Brigade, which was the Kentucky 6 and a few other Kentucky regiments, was basically based out of that area. When the Confederates, which were in Bowling Green, Kentucky, that was the capital of the Confederacy for Kentucky, They were shelled on February 13th. That was actually the 11th, and they had 2 days of shelling. And then on the 13th, they actually couldn't stand it anymore and left and marched 20 miles south to Franklin, Kentucky, and they stopped at the Octagon Hall. 9,000 Confederate soldiers were there. A lot of them wounded, became a hospital. After they left, they split their forces. Went to Shiloh and to Nashville. And then the Union came there and caused all kinds of problems. 5,000 Union soldiers stayed there. So it's got quite a lot of tragedy, a lot of death. A lot of soldiers came there and never made it back. He also became such of all the things the Union did to his house, poisoned the wells, stole everything that they had. He became quite the sympathizer and offered his home up for anybody trying to get home or for the guerrillas that were derailing trains. There's a train track that runs back there. It's the old Louisville Nashville, and it's owned by CSX now, which trains go by it all the time. But they would derail trains, and they'd run to his house, and he had incorporated hiding spots in his house. And he would hide it from the Union, and the Union knew it, but they never found anybody. If they did, they'd have killed them all. So, but quite the place. A lot of tragedy in his family, too. His wife dies at the age of 30. His second child, Mary Elizabeth, 12 years old, downstairs in the basement in the winter kitchen, and was playing or else helping cook. And embers came out, caught her dress on fire. She burns, and 7 days later passes from her injuries. And quite active in the hall. There are several different, but Mary is one of the most famous. But there are several spirits there in that house.
And are there, what kind of activities reported there? What kind of activity have you seen?
Well, you got about 2 months. I'll gladly go over.
Yeah. Pretty much probably everything.
I've seen everything from full body apparitions, shadow figures, you know, disembodied voices, everything. It's a very intelligent haunt, too. It's not, a lot of it is not residual. There are residual things in every haunt, but they seem to be extremely intelligent. I'll tell you a quick story. We do a Halloween thing up there every year. And we run 16 cameras and 3 audios in the place at all times for security purposes and also for paranormal. And I'm in there when it was closed, and I'm trying to get some video to make a video for the Halloween show. And while I'm doing it, I just yell out and say, okay, I need some help. Somebody jump in front of a camera, do something, and tell me you did it, and I'll make you famous. So about 3 minutes after I said this, me being the only one in the house, upstairs in the sick room where they would tend to soldiers and everything, there are bells that the soldiers would use to ring to ask for assistance. And sure enough, all of a sudden, I hear this bell ringing, going ding, 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 ding. And now I hear these footsteps. And guy like, this is my own mind imagining this. It was like he was leaning over the railing going, he yells at me, disembodied voice says, did you hear that? And I went, yep, I sure did.
So we do have somebody in chat
right.
Wants me to ask you how you broke your foot.
That was how I did. How I broke my foot, I got to tell you. And being, you know, people laugh at it all the time. And I don't care when you're at, however long you've been a paranormal investigator. You know, they think, oh, you can handle anything, and you're not going to get scared, and you won't get out of the place. Well, one day I was in the hall, heard a very strange noise. I was working on something in the main room in the dining room, and I hear this weird noises, and I'm like, going, wait a minute. I get up and look around, and I look in and look in, and I look over towards the foyer at the main door, and the next thing I know, there's a full-body apparition of a soldier that has his face all burned up, and half of his face looks to be missing to me, and he's got his hand out, and he's reaching for me, and he's walking right towards me. And at the time, I just kind of went, oh, hell no, and took off and ran, and when I did, broke my foot.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be quite startling.
Hey, yeah, when you get, you know, when, you know, I've seen, you know, when you're doing investigations and you're doing stuff like that, when you, you know, when you're sitting there and you're wanting to see it happen, you know, and I've seen them pop in front of me and do some, seen a lot of stuff, and I just go, wow, isn't that amazing? And hey, did anybody else see that? And what'd you see? And all that. But when you're not expecting it and it happens and you get that fear of flight comes on your body, you don't stop. I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, I've had shadow figures run at me. You can see them coming at you, and you can even hear the footsteps. And I will walk out. I mean, I will step to one side to let them go through.
Oh, my goodness.
Now I gotta ask. I know we're gonna talk about Mothman shortly, but since you have so much experience in investigating the paranormal and paranormal investigations, I've done quite a few paranormal investigations. I've never encountered anything like what you're describing, and we've talked to a lot of people on the show that have encountered what they call demons and evil spirits. In your experience, have you ever encountered like malevolent entities?
Oh, yeah.
Like, pure evil, like, are there demons? Do they exist? Do these evil spirits exist?
Well, I want to be very truthful with you, and this is the way that I look at it, and through my experience, and this is what I will say about it. I'm not a big thing that a lot of groups and everything else jump on it and say, oh, there's demons in your house. Well, that's not really a true statement. Yes, there are demons. Yes, I have come across them. They are extremely, and if the people who really have come across them in the period of time have really come across them, know that they are few and far between. They are extremely dangerous. I have been actually picked up and thrown across the room about 20 feet by one. They can kill you, and they do not play. Now, on the other side of the fact, there are a lot of spirits out there that are, and excuse my language, but I'm going to say, look, you know, you're dealing with people who were alive and in a past. Some don't know. Some are just terrible people. They were bad people in their lives, and they're bad people when they're dead. And you know, when you come across the a-hole, they can do a lot of terrible things. And they're not demons, they're just human spirits. And yes, they can be negative entities and cause a lot of problems, you know. And but I have seen, there's a 300-pound table that I know of in Octagon Hall. I've seen that thing raise up and drop, then picked up. I've seen it pushed at me, but believe me, it's not a demon doing it. It is just a spirit that has that kind of energy that can do that. You know, most spirits don't have that kind of energy, but there are a few that are just nasty. I mean, it's just the old saying, you know, if you're an a-hole in life, you're an a-hole in death, you know, and that's just the way that it is. And, not everything's a demon. Thank gosh, because if these people would really sit down and think about what they're saying and what a demon is, I mean, there's only so many demons that's available to you. But if you run across one, you won't play, and they don't play either. And they're extremely dangerous. In my whole career, I've probably run into three of them through all the investigations I've done. And you don't want to, and we don't want to talk about it. And after dealing with it or seeing them, there's a question mark that comes into your mind, Jason, that kind of goes, do I really want to do this again? And that's when you know you're really a paranormal investigator, because you just love it so much that you just got to go back and say, well, what the heck? I mean, we're touching on the fringes of different things. But, yeah, obviously there are demons, but they're not like, you know, we get a lot of people that come over. And I got a call not too long ago on a house down in Tennessee. And the poor lady says, well, there's a demon into my house. This team was up there investigating it. And I was like, going, okay, we'll come down and see what's going on. Not a demon, but that's just the way that they perceive it. So,
I imagine the movies and TV shows kind of propagate all this fear. And, you know, every bump in the middle of the night is a demon. And, you know, when the reality
is,
exactly.
Exactly. But you know what? The whole world, you know, if you look at the strange creatures out there and everything else, and we'll talk about Mothman later. But you know, the thing about it is there is a lot of strange, unique things that are happening, and that veil gets lifted, and we have the opportunity to see it, and that's what drives us to do the research, to keep looking at it, do the investigations, and be on top of the game so that you know what you're dealing with, because the world is a very strange place. And you just got to take it as you get it. And, you know, a lot of people's minds can get screwed up. Plus, there's a ton of disinformation out there, which really upsets me so much, you know. But the real people hear the right words and hear everything, and then they eventually come around. And the other ones who are into the ego trips and everything else, there's no helping them. That's just the way it's going to be.
Well, you had mentioned paranormal unity earlier, and what I've noticed being in the paranormal is there's so much ununity. There's, like you mentioned, egos and infighting, and it's kind of turned me off to the paranormal in a sense, because there's just slander, libel, lawsuits, just nonsense. And I was like, you know what? I don't even know that I want to be involved in this, because it's so ridiculous. People are ridiculous.
It is. And you know, I happen to deal with a lot of teams. There have been over 250 investigation teams coming out. I've been involved with several of the guys on TV, and most of them are really good. They have bad raps. You hear bad raps. Well, I'll tell you one thing. They're bottom line, they're pretty professional and know what they're doing, you know. And they're a pleasure to talk to. But as you said, because of all the TV and everything else, there's people out there that just want to go, hey, let's go paranormal investigating. What a blast. And all they're doing is going for the scare factor. They're not helping anybody. They're causing more problems. They're out there playing, you know, and heck, I heard of a team just recently goes into a house, brings a Ouija board, actually cuts themselves and feeds it blood so that they can do it. And I'm like going, man, you come to my house and do that and I'll kill you.
Who would do that? They're, oh my God.
You know, it's insanity. You know, and it gives us a bad name out there. But thank gosh, there are the real people who are strongly working this and who are fierce researchers. And I tell, you know, I get a lot of calls for new teams and wanting to know, hey, what can I do to make it, you know, be a better team and everything else. And I tell everybody it's the same thing, you know. Look, it's 85% about research. You know, if you're not a researcher, then you're in the wrong field. You know, because you have to find out a lot of stuff, and you have to do a lot of study, and you have to take the time to do it. The small time that you're doing an investigation, it actually becomes like about 10% of your total project of your thing, because you do your first investigation after you do the research and after you put everything together, because you need to know where you're going into and what's going to happen. You just don't go into a place and say, hi, I'm here. You know, who are you going to talk to? Anybody here? Find out about the property, find out about this stuff, and what goes on in it, who's passed in the house, those kind of stuff. It's all available. It's all the way to do it. And then find the information that you get from that investigation by doing your review, and then go back and then incorporate your ideas of what else is going on. And that's all there is, you know. This crap about just going out to have fun, it, you know, a lot of people, the next thing you know, they call and they go, can you bring, can spirits come home with you? Why, hell yeah. You know, and they're going, well, I need help. Just the way it goes.
I imagine a lot of people probably open doors that they don't intend to, or get in themselves into situations that they don't fully understand. But I want to make sure that we get time for some Mothman talk.
Oh, sure.
Sherry, have you heard of Mothman? Do you know anything about Mothman?
I have no idea. Nope.
So I don't either.
Well, neither do I, so we're all.
I'll say I'm skeptical.
No, well, Mothman is quite the legend, and I call him a legend, but it is, it's like the, a movie was made up to it, made out of it, due to the fact of, there was a paranormal investigator that did it, his name was John Keel, and he actually wrote a book about it, and then, of course, it comes into the movie, which Richard Gere was in. There's a lot of falsehoods in the movie, and but they're, you know, just odd differences. But, you know, the first sighting of Mothman actually came back around, you know, in the early 1960s. Point Pleasant is the area where it took effect. There's it's right on the Ohio River, and if you're familiar with Kentucky and Ohio, they border each other. West Virginia is also right in there, and Point Pleasant is actually in West Virginia. There was a bridge that went across there. It was called the Silver Bridge. I've been by it several times, and across it several times in my life before it met its demise at the hands of what some people believe was Mothman, or him showing out a signal of terrible things to happen. That's one of the things that Mothman appears to tell you, that there's going to be a terrible thing happening. But it is a very interesting story. I've been to the site where it's at. There's also Point Pleasant has a wonderful Mothman Museum. They also do a festival every year. I think this year is the 50th festival. I think this year is going to be in September 18th and 19th. But it's really a nice place. And one of the cool things about it is where the museum is actually in an old hotel called the Lowe's Hotel. And the Lowe's Hotel is also known for its haunts. So you get a double dose when you go
there. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it is.
Gary,
it actually is neat.
I have a question for you when you say Mothman. So I take it Mothman, literally Mothman. He's got the wings of a moth and the legs or a body of a man. Is that correct, or how is that put together?
Well, basically what the witnesses described and what people have seen and what still happens to this day, and people still do report him, is a creature that's about 7 feet tall, wingspan of about 5 to 6 feet. Head is kind of moth-like. It's kind of dipped in the center. Red glowing eyes. And extremely fast when it flies. in one of the witnesses back when there was a group with, I believe it was Roger Scarberry. They were out on a joyride and went out to the old TNT site, which was in Ohio in the World War II. They were doing quite a lot of manufacturing of Tornado. Well, basically what it is I can't think of the name of it. I apologize. I should know it. But it's a chemical, and basically what it is TNT, and that's where they call it the TNT. They were actually making explosives in that area for the war. They had underground facilities out there and so forth, and that's where they were driving out that way, past the airport. I don't want to get too technical with you. The airport's also just kind of south of that. It's about 4 miles out of Point Pleasant, where the first where the sighting that I'm talking about now happened. And that was the big sighting. They see the creature. It actually he floors his car. The witnesses in the car said they were going 100 miles an hour, and this thing's keeping up with them. He drives to the sheriff's office, and you can just imagine what you know they were thinking about, having a bunch of people come up with you know in their area going, "Oh my gosh, have you saw the weirdest creature in the world?" So it was following them, but the sightings just kept on coming in. You know,
is he really supposed to be harmless? There's no reports that, you know, there's no confrontation as far as, you know, feeling threatened or hurt or anything like that.
Well, you know what? There are some that have, you know, had some things in. Clendenin, West Virginia, in 1966, a guy, it's about 90 miles away from Point Pleasant, and there was a gentleman there who had experience where they were flying by, you know, his house had a bunch of problems out by his house, and then his dog goes out and starts barking, and he sees this this tall thing, and he runs into the house and hides, and wakes up the next morning, and he can't find the dog. He goes out and sees the prints where the dog was running around where they saw this thing, and later in that incident when they're in the car driving away from the thing and the Mothman is following them, they actually come across a dead dog, and it happens to be the same dog that this guy lost 90 miles away. So I guess if you're a dog, I guess it's a problem.
That's crazy.
For now.
Yeah, it is quite the, you know, quite the story. And of course, these sightings go on for, you know, they started, like I said, early in, the first one was in 1965 in that area, and then they started again heavily in 66, and then culminating where so many people have seen the Mothman now and identifying him, and the last time they see him is on top of the Silver Bridge. And it's December 15th, and 67. And it's, that evening, someone sees him up in the center of the suspension bridge, and Silver Bridge was one of the first suspension bridges that was made, and it was actually held together by a mainframe bolt. And when that happens, the bridge actually caves in with 46 with 36 cars on it, and during rush hour traffic, 36 vehicles on the bridge, drops into it, kills 46 people, injures 9, and two of the people that were confirmed were dead were never found. Two women in a car were never found again, but and they were part of the 46. So, and it was deemed that because this bolt was pulled from the main part of the suspension bridge and this weld broke because of that, and guess who was standing on top of the bridge at the time that, right before that? Mothman. So
it's believed that Mothman like essentially caused it to, by pulling that bolt?
Some people believe that. In my estimation, I kind of think that he might have been signaling, hey, you got a problem up here. You know, because of the fact that it seems like he really wants to do some good. The strange part about the Mothman is all of the UFO sightings that went with this. You know, during the time of the thing, and this is where I get kind of heavy into it because of all of the, there was quite a lot of them, you know, and, men in black were seen in the area. You know, typical, everything that goes all together, it all runs together. And they had a lot of sightings of UFOs in 66 and 67 in that area. You know, and even pilots, I mean, there was a report of there's a place called Gallup List. And I know that there was a, they were at the airport, and they saw what they considered to be a giant bird doing about 70 miles per hour, and its wings were moving, and it was unlike anything that any witness has ever seen.
Wow. Has there ever been any other incidents of, like, a disaster that has surrounded Mothman, or is the bridge thing the only one?
Well, actually, history goes back a long time about seeing these strange creatures that predict prophecies of doom, you know. And Mothman has been seen in several places. And one of the craziest things, and, you know, if you go back to 2001, 9/11, there is actually videos of something or a picture of something flying around the towers before it is destroyed, and people claim that it was Mothman.
Hmm.
So where do you think they live? Where do you think they're from? What's your guess?
Interdimensional beings. They could be aliens. They could be a strange creature. Let me tell you something. If you're familiar, you know, if you have the opportunity to head towards West Virginia, some of the strangest creatures from the bear beast in Kentucky, there you've got the sheep squatch, and you've got different types of
sheep squatch.
Yeah, I was
going
to say.
Oh, yeah. You've got all kinds of different types of odd things. You know, you've got the Ohio River beads, through a lot of it. You've got lizard men. You've got all kinds of stuff that has been seen in this area, in these areas. And so even back in the time of Native American, you know, when the Native Americans, they told stories of similar things, you know, that would happen when bad things would happen, you know, when these things were around. And so, you know, I guess with me, I look at it and going, could it be an alien connection? Possibly. Could it be a thing from, is there a time warp or a portal that they can come in and out of and go out of? Do they travel through time and they know what's going to happen and that's why they appear there? Are they almost angelic in a way that they're coming to give you this prophecy of doom to warn people? You know, it's open to me. You know, I could give you 100 things. All I know is that I've been to the site. I have. I've seen some bizarre things in that area. I know that if you try to go there today, people, you can go back out that way and you might find yourself in a lot of trouble because there are government vehicles that are surrounding that area. They pop up on you. They'll follow you. They'll chase you. You don't want to be caught out there, even though a lot of people do go out there. I've had some friends talk that have also gone recently and said that they got ran out by some vehicles and they had to pull a kind of like hide in a used car lot while they drove by.
Wow.
Is there a military base near there?
The only thing that's out there now, most of the buildings are destroyed. There are some igloos and there's some areas, what they call the underground igloos, that open up and go down underneath, because everything is underneath. It's all storage buildings for TNT, and it dates back. You could find old phones and everything else down there. Not too long ago, I was talking to a paranormal investigator. I won't mention her team's name, but she was there with a gentleman, and he had like a light opened up at the while they were down there, and this light kind of appeared, and a mist or a portal opening, if you would, and had an experience of seeing the large creature, winged creature in it, and then it collapsed. The portal collapsed. But they left there with quite the idea that he is still there. You know, and I believe that he is there too, because we've done some investigating up there. I was with it, and it's a very strange area. As I said, still to this day, people are reporting a large creature seen in graveyards, seen in these areas, that is got the large wingspan. Excuse me. And the red glowing eyes. So, if you ask me, I think he's still out there.
Well, if I see something with a big wingspan and red glowing eyes, I'm going the other direction.
You know, unfortunately, you know, the bad thing about it is I guess people will make fun of me. I remember one time I was sitting out with a guy, and I looked at him and I said, "This is." Hey, have you ever heard of a pterodactyl? Have you ever heard of pterodactyl? And he goes, he thought for a second. He went, "That's one of the weirdest questions." He says, "They've been dead for years." Of course, I don't. I've never heard of pterodactyl. And I told him, "Well, I think I did, because we've been out and hear that wingspan and that weird screech. And let me tell you something. Not to let everybody think that I'm just totally gonzo, but I do believe that there are portals and openings that can take you back to several locations or a different spot. And I've had some firsthand experience in that in Pennsylvania and also within Kentucky. And sometimes you go and you say, I don't know if I want to be in this area because I don't know how to get back home if all of a sudden... you know, the reports in this area for a long time, there's been reports of farmers walking out, playing with their kids and everything else, and go out and walk in the field, and then the kids and the family watch him just disappearing and never comes back. So
that is scary. Wow.
Yeah.
So, like, Yeah. Like wormholes, then, like.
Right, exactly, like a wormhole or like that kind of stuff. You know, we are in one of the largest cave systems in the area. Mammoth Cave is right around us, and there has been a lot of things associated with. Many people believe that the original Bigfoots from this area actually came out of the caves. There are reports of lizard-like people in the area, reptilians, that kind of stuff, that are cave dwellers. So you don't know. It's very interesting. Yes, and wormholes, I do believe, exist.
Now, we do have a caller. Would you be willing to look?
Oh, sure, yeah, please. Please.
Right.
Yes.
Been on hold for quite some time.
Oh, sure, no problem.
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Hello,
yes,
caller.
Thank you very much. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you very much for taking my call. And my name is Shadi. And, you know, we are talking about pretty much everything that you are talking about, UFOs and paranormal, etc. You know, in Iran, in 1976, there was very giant, I mean, there was a UFO in southwest of Tehran airport, and people call in, and finally the general in the dispatch, 2F5 at that time was a great, jet aircraft. Within minutes, they arrive from Kermanshah, which is at 300 miles from Tehran. And then these two, they go and they have the accounts of, the pilots. And it's incredible UFO that it's been, they have a good record of it. It's happened in Iran, Tehran in 1976.
You are 100% right. It's probably one of the best documented cases on it. It is the pilot that has also been, and I apologize, I cannot think of his name right now, but it has been
General Jeffrey.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, 100% right. And he has been on, told the story, everything else. The Stephen Greer, when he first came out with the Disclosure Project, I believe he was involved in that, talked about that. And I'm not too sure that he wasn't there when they did the disclosure with the Stephen Bissett did the one with the Congress. And it is one of the most documented, and it's a wonderful case to study and research. It's been talked about 100 times, even more. It's a very, very famous case. And,
yes, it is.
It is, if I'm not mistaken, I'm sorry, you know, your mind just goes all over the place. At least mine does at my age. But I believe he actually tried to shoot at it, and his guns were disabled. Is that true?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he tried to shoot it while all of his, actually it was F4, I have to correct myself. F4, F5 pretty much close to each other, sorry. But, Phantom jets, Phantom 2 jets. And
yeah.
Interceptors reported losing instrumental and communication as they approached to the UFO. And,
right.
And yes, they were unable, General Jaffery and the other partner, and were unable to shoot at it, and they were going down. Actually, all their communication fell down. They were almost
right.
ejecting position, but somehow their communication came back, and they were able to maneuver come out.
Yeah, they were actually thinking that they were going to actually crash because they lost control of the plane, basically, because all systems shut down on it. And then they did regain it and did talk about it. And, oh, yeah, it's, you know, I thank you for bringing that to people's attention because, you know, a lot of people don't really know all the things that have gone on with UFOs throughout the country and throughout the world. You know, here we talk about a lot of the older stuff. We're always stuck on Roswell and some of the other things, but we've had a lot of sightings in the country, and we continue to have sightings to this day.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, they're not covered as high, and that could be because of cover-up. And hopefully one time I'll be able to come back and talk to you about some of the conspiracy theories with this group. You know, it is just a shame of what happens. Of course, we had the nuclear things. Of course, in the 90s, we had nukes were actually set off in Russia. I've worked a case that is in the 1970s that we know about that I really can't mention because of the people that are involved with it. Don't want to be it, but it is at an Air Force base that the nukes actually went into launch mode. There are in the mid 70s, from 1973, all the SAC bases in the United States were having all kinds of reports. 73, 74. You know, you have the Manchester incident, the Cone incident, where they're in the helicopters over Mansfield, Ohio, and have sightings like that. And it's everywhere,
and,
you know.
Yes,
and to this
many
day,
sightings.
We see so many of them. But, you know, we don't have, you know, I love the people with that do investigations and are involved in it. I just love them a lot. I don't like some of their tactics or their. I spent a long time with MUFON. I'm no longer with MUFON. I really enjoyed it when we were there, but I think there's a lot more that can be done. You know. If they're going to help humanity out, let's talk about some of these things and open up a little bit more, you know, because people need to know about it. It is actually going on every day. And then you have, and I don't mean to really drive home the point, but I'm going to try here, this abductions and the things that are happening in the abductions. You know, a lot of people out there, that's crazy. That's not, well, let me tell you something. You can tell. I do a lot of interviews with abductees, and I've had my own experiences in the past with them and during investigations I've done and everything else. And let me tell you something. There is something there that, you know, everybody needs to dedicate their time to do the research and to be open and honest with it and not be egomaniacs and trying to just own something to make themselves famous. You know, let's give it to the
true.
People.
That's true indeed, yeah. And you know, and is General Jaffery also wrote a book called "Dogfight Over Tehran," and it's a very famous book, and
right.
People can
yeah.
find it on Amazon or any other places or libraries. They should have it, and they can study. This is one of the biggest
exactly.
cases that. Attention of United States governments and all the world was on this UFO incident happened in Tehran, Iran, and you know it also is silly to think that we are the only you know intelligent people in the whole mass universe in the world. There are every planet it has its own stars, and every star it has its own suns, and also each planet they have their own creatures that are infinite, and
right,
they are not
exactly
unknown to us yet.
I agree with you more. And anybody that would think that if we have a creator that would just create one race, I'm sure that that's, you know, that seems awful far-fetched, you know. And, yes, I truly believe it. There are so many different stories. If you want to look at, I always try to turn people on to the Serpico series, search Serpico and read some of the things that went on in that website. They've got an interesting interview with Ronald Reagan that was taped on it also. But there has been a lot of different things that have been going on. And due to the fact of disinformation, believe me, if you don't believe that's going on, there are several people that do not want anybody to know what is happening. And how, what they do is there's falsehoods and everything else out there that are going to mislead you. And one of the biggest things that I tell people is do not fall for deception. You know,
and is it true that Jimmy Carter also was UFO incident?
Exactly,
Jimmy
yes.
Carter, given the incident, Jimmy Carter reported seeing an UFO while at Leary, Georgia, in 1969. While governor of Georgia, Carter was asked to file a report of the sighting by International UFO Bureau in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma,
right,
which he did in September,
yeah,
1973. But since its writing, the report has been discussed several times by both ufologists and members of the mainstream media. Go ahead.
Yes, yes, very, very true. He has. There's been several. There's been different presidents that have actually come across and actually said, yes, they have seen things. Gerald Ford, actually mentioned that. But there are, you know, so many incidents, so many things. The field is so open. I mean, we can go back in our time here and look at all the UFO cases. And if it doesn't ring a bell with you and it doesn't open up a thing that says, wow, what is going on? Because there are some really well-documented cases.
There's
here
a lot
in Kentucky,
going on.
Yeah, here in Kentucky, we were down in Franklin, which we are down there now, one of the most famous cases is the Mantell case, and happened in the 1940s. And here, Thomas Mantell is flying from him and three other guys are transporting planes to Goddard Field from North Carolina, and there's reports of a UFO. And he is the first tragedy, a death related to a UFO. It's kind of funny. He was born in the city of Franklin, Kentucky, and he dies in the city of Franklin, Kentucky. He wasn't in Franklin very long. But he chases a UFO, has contact with it, everything else. His other people turn back around. They were low on fuel. He continues to chase it, and the next thing you know, he is on the ground. And I did a lot of investigations, so have a lot of other people here. Recently, we
That's
just
true.
Looked at some of the other ones. A friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, we went to the crash site. We happen to know where it is. I actually know that there's a piece of metal from the plane that's in one of the archives down here in Franklin. We've looked at that. It's a lot different story. We've actually interviewed and had people tell us about the story. And let me tell you something. When the plane came down, it was actually coming in at a pretty high speed, and some of the witnesses actually reported seeing like a puff right before it hits the ground and the plane slowed down. And from the pictures and everything else, when you're looking at a P-57, you've got a major prop in front of it, and that blade is sticking straight into the ground and straight up. you know that that wasn't running when it hit.
Right. So we're actually out of time, and I want to thank the caller for calling in. Thanks, caller, for letting us know about the...
You're very welcome. Thank you for taking me. Thank you for giving
me... I didn't know about that. I had no idea.
Yes.
So thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was a pleasure speaking to you. Keep looking at these investigations because they're very they'll open your mind and your eyes to what's really going on.
And before we close, I do have one quick question from chat. The person wanted to know where the most UFO sightings are in the world currently. Have you heard gotten any wind of whereabouts in the world? There's a lot going on.
Well, there's always, with MUFON keeps pretty well because they cover the world pretty well. There are certain areas, here in the United States, Texas, California, they're just massive areas, and they do call a lot. Kentucky has quite a lot of reports itself. And through my time, all I can tell you is that there are certain times, and there may be some people who argue with me, but from all the investigations I've done, and I've done several of them in the hundreds, but there are certain areas at certain times that UFOs are more prevalent. When you see them on the West Coast, they're normally not on the East Coast, and I don't know if that's because just like when we sent a spaceship up back in the 60s, you had to hit a window to come in at. Now, whether there's a different spot when you come in and they're in this one area that they can visit, so you might see them in the Northeast, and then you might see them in the central part of the country at another time of the month. And it's interesting, and I wish more people would look at that going back in time, and you'd be able to predict that, and of course we're coming up on 4th of July, and the 4th of July happens to be one of the most days of sightings ever,
Yeah.
Any UFO place will see a lot, but, some of them are false, but then again, some of them are true. So I apologize, I can't give you a direct answer on that. But I sure do appreciate it, and I'm sure that MUFON has that statistic somewhere in its blog, and you can go onto their websites, and they have the last 25 and figure out exactly where they've been going.
I know in southern Washington, about an hour from where I'm at, is one of the best places in the world. Like, literally every night at, 10:30, you can watch the lights
come out
of some mountain or something. But I don't remember the name of that place. Some guy has a ranch out there, and people go out there.
Oh, yeah. It's, gosh darn it, I can't think of his name. It starts with a G, I think. It's a wonderful ranch out there, and it is noted for... and I don't know why I can't come up with his name, and I apologize, but it's on the tip of my tongue, and I just can't think of it right now, and I do apologize. But yes, you're right, several sightings out in that area, and it is a continual thing. And then you have other odd areas also, out in there are several different areas that are quite strange in that area. Look around the 41st latitude, just go across the country and look at that latitude, and you'll probably find something that's very interesting.
Yeah. So, all right. So, we're over time. We got to close the show. Barry, is there any way people can get in contact with you if they have any questions and want to learn more about your group and what you do?
Of course. We're always open to that. We have a website. It's Night Stalkers paranormal.org. I'll give it my Facebook page is I used to have Kentucky True Seeker, but now I'm I use my full name, Barry Gaunt. Facebook decided to do with my stage name. They didn't like it. They wanted to know I was a real person, but I am. I'm on Facebook. Also, Night Stalkers Paranormal has a Facebook page. They're there also, and a website. And you can also catch me from the Octagon Hall, octagonhall.com, or the Octagon Hall Museum on Facebook. Billy Bird is the director there, and as I said, I'm with him most of the time. He's a very good friend of ours. And you can come see the house or talk about that. We talked about that earlier. Make reservations to come and hunt the house or whatever. And so we have several places that they can get a hold of me, and I enjoy talking to people. And if you have questions, I will do my darndest to answer them for you.
Awesome. And I think I Sherry was going to have you back on. If not, we need to get you back on because there's so much to talk about. I want to talk about conspiracy and deep.
No problem. I'd enjoy it very much, and I thank you for having me tonight. And we'll get Sherry together, and we'll get a subject to talk about, and we'll be more than happy to cover with you all.
Awesome.
Thank
well, thank you,
Barry.
So much for being on the show, Barry.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you all. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right.
All right.
Everybody have a good night.
You too. Thank you for staying up.
All right, Sherry. Wow. We covered everything tonight. It's awesome. And you know how I feel about UFOs, having my own terrifying UFO experiences. So that is certainly a subject of interest. And I had no idea about the sighting in 76 in Tehran. So I'm going to have to Google that and learn about that. Somehow that slipped through my UFO fingers.
Most definitely. I didn't know about it either. Yes, we'll have them back probably next month. I like to have them talk about conspiracy theories, how to protect ourselves and the U.S. government, and just on whether it's a local or federal, or, you know, how can we do as citizens to protect ourselves with privacy and just, you know, just generalizations about it. So I would like to have them back.
Awesome. And as usual, you do the most amazing job finding guests for the show. What who do we have next week?
Well, next week I have confirmed with Andrea Perrone. For those of you who don't know who she is the oldest sibling of The Conjuring. So there was five sisters, and she's very well known, not only just as an author, but she travels all over the world. And she's just very, very lucky to have her. She says, you know, Sherry, I'm going to make an exception for you because I, you know, I feel like I, you know, had a good show and just feel connected. So I'm very, very pleased to have her back. She's going to talk about her show, her book, In a Flicker, probably, and about The Conjuring 2 that just came out. So I heard it's kind of freaky, but with the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine Warren. So she is the oldest sibling of the Perrone's family that The Conjuring movie is based out of. So I'm really happy to have her next week.
Yes, we've talked to her before, and she's a great guest.
Yes.
And I think The Conjuring 2, I heard a news story. Somebody died during it, so it must be scary.
I'm
only going to see it.
And also picked up some entities. That's not funny. I shouldn't be laughing.
All right. Well, unless you have anything else, we'll close the show.
We're just going to close, and I want to thank you, the viewers and listeners, for your support and your participation.
I think we'll close the show with a little commercial from our friend Bill Bean, well-known paranormal. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, our caller for calling in, and everybody check out our Facebook page of Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. I hope everybody has a great and safe week. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Peace.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.